Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to From Complex to Queens, our minor league podcast. I am Steve Saipa, and I'm joined this week by Lucas Vlahos and Thomas Henderson. How you guys doing this week?
Pretty good. Just got off the, how long was that? Four-ish hour long NPL first year player draft. So that was fun. And very long. I won't waste everyone's time talking about the entire draft, but I did take Dylan Tabrak in the 10th round. So I planted my flag. I'm not just memeing. I actually think he's good.
Nice. Well, you got
who'd you take in the first?
Zach Neto. So I had. I'm like coming out of a rebuild, or like mid, like towards the tail end of a rebuild. So I had the 5th overall pick. I got Neto at 5. Justin Henry Molloy in the 2nd. Will Warren in the 3rd. And then some other guys, but those were the big names at the top. I was really hoping someone like Eric Brown on the Brewers would fall to the 2nd, but. There are a lot of smart people in this league, and that didn't happen. So, Dylan Tabrak, I like him.
Well, hopefully he works out for the Mets and for you. Mm-hmm.
Great story. Like, had some really cool YouTube videos on his work. So,
all right. So, promote extend trade this week. And on today's date, back in 1997... In 2006 and 2020, a couple of video games came out that were, they basically go on to be like smash hits, sell a ton of units, become really important in the genre, whatever. So what games are we going to promote, extend, or trade here?
No, you're doing this because Ken's not here.
Yes, I tailor everything, depending on who's here. So... first up, we have in 1997, Castlevania Symphony of the Night came out. Then in 2006, on this date, Elder Scrolls Oblivion came out. And then back on this date in 2020, Animal Crossing New Horizons came out.
So I'm going to hurt my gamer cred here. I haven't played any of these.
That's surprising.
Really? Nope.
I figured you would have at least played Castlevania and Elder Scrolls.
So I played Elder Scrolls, but never Oblivion. That's just, I mean, that's probably the game I'll extend because Skyrim was the first time I really got into to PC gaming. Like, I mean, my parents never let me play games growing up, and then eventually I had enough independence and my own computer to play. And then Skyrim came out, and I'm like, I need a better PC and built a PC for it. So, and it's all been downhill since there. I've wasted countless hours playing whatever. So, I mean, it all went wrong with Elder Scrolls. Or right, depending on your perspective.
Oblivion was my first Elder Scrolls.
That's the one before Morrowind, or that's Elder Scrolls 3, right? Or is that 4?
Morrowind's three.
Okay. Yeah.
So I had it for my 360 actually, because I'm a dirty console gamer.
At the time, I would have been too, but
I think
and
we
then
could also get rid
go
of
ahead.
Animal Crossing.
I like Animal Crossing, but in
Oh,
this
shit.
scenario, yes. Like,
Okay.
I'll get rid of it here. But I have a lot of fun with Animal Crossing.
I'm extending Castlevania because I love that game. So good.
Oh, it's so good. I mean, it half spawned its own genre.
Yeah, I mean that game pretty much. That game and the one before it, Castlevania Rondo of Blood. And then I think there's like Castlevania 2, or I don't know which one, but they have like a coherent and continuous storyline that is like when you think of Castlevania, you think of those three games.
Yes.
The only so my only counterpoint, and I'll actually promote Animal Crossing and trade Castlevania only because I don't know if you guys remember this, but Doom and Animal Crossing came out at like the same time. So we had a whole bunch of crossover memes with Doom guy handing a super shotgun to the cute little dog character whose name I don't know, or like swapping their roles so the dog character is in hell ripping demons in half and the Doom Slayer is, I don't know, tending his fucking garden or something. I enjoyed all of those greatly. So that's my appreciation for Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing is a legitimate like cultural phenomenon too, which to its credit, like
It's
it's a
true.
huge deal.
Yeah, there was a definitely a certain factors in the world all came together just
Yes.
the right way for everyone to be
Of
like, let's
course.
all play Animal Crossing.
But also, I like Animal Crossing because whenever a new one comes out and I'm like into it, I could just do my little thing for 15 minutes and then I could put it down for the day. And if I want to, I could play a little more of it. So I like that for the consistency of it.
Yeah, those kinds of games are very
It's
important.
nice. I could be
Meaningless
like,
games, basically.
yeah, it's nice because I could just be like, let me go like talk to all my weird animal friends to see if anyone needs me to like give them an umbrella. And then if I want to, I could go fish. And if I don't want to, I checked in for the day, so it's fine, you know?
Weird animal friends are the only friends that I have, so. All right, so we'll move on now to our way too early draft updates. And I'll go first. My guy is Cole Carrig, and San Diego State University. He played UC Irvine at the beginning of the week and then UConn over the weekend. And their game against UC Irvine got canceled because of rain and wet field conditions. But they did play their games against the Huskies. And so far, they are currently playing right now, but they lost two and they won one. And Carrig only played in one of those games. He played center field this week. He's a man of many talents. And he is just 0 for 2 with a strikeout and a hit by pitch in that one game. So he's currently hitting 327, 362, 519 on the season with one homer, four stolen bases in five attempts. Two walks and seven strikeouts. So I'd say his stock is pretty much holding just because he really did not play at all this week. Ken, his player, Yohandria Morales. Obviously, Ken is not here this week, so he'll give us an update next week. Lucas, you had Colton Ledbetter.
It's a very boring update. He played 3 games. I lost my tab. Crud. Excellent content. Here we go. He played 3 games, 2-for-9, 5 walks, 1 strikeout, no extra base hits. I suspect he's being pitched around a little bit. It is slightly notable that after starting the season on a real pace with the extra base hits, he's fallen off a bit. But like I said, I think he's getting pitched around a little bit. And the plate discipline numbers kind of speak for themselves, right? It's not like he's striking out a lot. They're just not falling right now, and he's watching a bunch of junk go by. So not a very exciting week, but you know, not a devastating, not one that moves his stock down a lot.
Yeah, it makes sense. He's from Samford University last year.
Samford,
and he's now at MSU.
Correct.
Yeah, so, I mean, coming into the year, I'm sure there's not a very long book on him. And, well, he came out of nowhere and was just dominating. So now everyone's just like, oh, shit, hold up.
Maybe we don't throw him shit down the middle and see if he can handle it. Because it turns out he can. So.
Yep, so it seems. And Thomas, you had shortstop Rokolowski.
Yeah, so for some reason, Max Preps is being weird about uploading batting stats, and they don't have any for this year so far.
They do that from time to time.
Yeah, so I'm sure he's fine. I know he went 1-for-2 like 2 weeks ago, so. But he also has 3 pitching appearances and is 1-0 with a save, so good for him. He seems to be like a leverage reliever for them because he's not a real pitching prospect. Like he throws in the mid-80s or something like that, so. He's good for, obviously, he's probably fine for high school. I don't think he pitches much, but he's not one of their starting pitchers or anything. But he seems to be pitching in leverage situations and doing his thing. Like, he's thrown 45 pitches in these 3 outings, so it's probably like an inning or 2 of work or something like that. But, like, in these 3 outings combined, he's thrown 45 pitches, so he's not pitching much, but... Yeah, he's the best player in Arizona. So the stats when they get uploaded will be very funny, I'm sure. He's going to hit like 350 or 400 or something.
Bryce Harper is from Nevada, not Arizona. Never mind.
Yeah, he and Bryant and one other dude who I'm forgetting were all from Vegas around the same time.
Because last year he hit 357 as a junior, so...
Should hopefully do better than that this year.
It's crazy that like the stats you expect from prospects at these levels, right? Like, oh, he hit 330. It's a little disappointing.
Yeah.
Because the actual prospect, he's hit like 550 or something. It's a little ridiculous.
He did throw 9 touchdown passes this year.
Yeah.
For the varsity football team.
Hmm.
And the quarterback and long snapper threw 13. So I don't know what they're doing on the football team. Beckham Pellant had 13 passing touchdowns and was the long snapper. I also think Chalowski punts on the football team, so he's a versatile athlete.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's an overachiever. I'm sure he's also a 4.0 student. Yes. Lots of extracurricular activities and so forth. That always annoys me when I read, you know, like when you go into like player profiles for like college players or whatever, and it has like their high school information and, you know, they're like 4.0 GPA students in addition to being college, you know, high level collegiate athletes. It's like, that's not fair. You're supposed to either be a dumb jock or like a smart but unathletic like nerd. Like, these guys are the best of both worlds. Like why couldn't that be me?
Like when the guy's the and he's one of the academic All-Americans in football and he's actually good. It's like, damn.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to now our team, the Mets, and we'll give some spring training stat updates. And we're basically getting towards the end of spring training now. The season starts like 2 weeks, give or take. So a lot of the top prospects that were in camp have been cut and they've been sent to minor league camp. So we're only going to deal with some of the top prospects who are in camp now or just recently sent down, or, you know, they're just kind of relevant. However, so first up is our number one prospect, Francisco Alvarez, and his spring training struggles basically continued this week. He went 1-for-10 with one walk and one strikeout in five games. And he is hitting in totality 115, 207, 115 in 13 games. Three hits, all of which have been singles, two walks, and eight strikeouts. Number two prospect, Kode Senga. He pitched three innings, and he gave up one run on three hits. He struck out five, and he did not walk anybody. And he looked good. There's no lingering issues from his hand-finger discomfort that he was experiencing a week ago or so. He said he's basically mostly ready for the season to start. So, you know, that's what we want to see.
That dude, like, literally, and he literally slept on his hand wrong one night. It was like, ow, my finger. It's spring training. I don't need to do this. There's a lot of consternation over this. Because there were, a lot of Mets were getting injured at the time and are still getting injured. But this was never something to be concerned about, it seems.
Yeah, it's probably adjusting to the new ball, too.
Yeah.
That's the actual reason, I'm saying.
Yeah.
Keep something to keep an eye on, but not, like, be concerned about. If it was something that continued, then you go, oh, shit. But so on the spring as a whole, he's pitched twice now, and he's thrown a total of five innings. He's allowed two runs on four hits with two walks and seven strikeouts. Our number three prospect, Brett Beatty. He went 2-for-3 this week, all singles, with six strikeouts and three walks. So he is 13-for-37 on the spring with one double, one home run, two stolen bases, seven walks, and 12 strikeouts. And that comes out to, in 19 games, a batting line of 351, 478, 459.
Yeah.
He looks ready.
Yep.
I'd feel, to such a small sample size that it doesn't mean much. I'd feel better if he was hitting for a bit more power, but
agreed.
He looks better. I think he's looked better in the field. The play he made today was not actually that hard. I know SNY was tweeting about it, but I think he's looked better when I've watched him than he did last year. So maybe that work with Tulowitzki actually paid off.
That was one of those nice plays everyone should make type thing.
Yep. And Walker can move. I think people don't realize that as much. Like, he can motor a bit.
But Beatty's arm has always been solid, like, impressive.
Yep.
It pops when he has to make those throws. You're like, oh.
Mm-hmm. All right. Our number eight prospect, Mark Vientos. He went 3-for-16 this week with one extra base hit, a double, nine strikeouts, and two walks. So on season, he is 14-for-49 with four doubles, two home runs, three walks, and 20 strikeouts in 19 games. And that comes to a 286, 321, 490 batting average, batting line, excuse me.
I do not care.
It's probably a little closer in line with what you could reasonably expect if you shelter him a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Being on the major league team this year.
He's going to get time 100%.
Yeah, I just don't know if it's going to be the start. I don't know if he's going to get called up for injury. I'm not 100% sure.
How do you think they're, and I don't know if Steve wanted to talk, if you wanted to talk about this later, I'll shut up and we can talk about it later. But since Beatty and Vargas or Beatty and Vientos, excuse me, are here, how do you think they're going to reshuffle things if Nimmo has to miss a little time here? I know he says he's going to be ready for opening day, but who the hell knows?
I don't know.
I don't know what they're going to do here exactly.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Tommy Pham opening day lineup. Opening day starter, I should say.
Yeah, I feel like you need LeCastro on the roster then, because you don't have a true center fielder, like Marte doesn't want to switch positions, and Canna and Pham really shouldn't be playing center field.
I wouldn't be surprised if LeCastro makes it, or like honestly, DJ Stewart or something.
Stewart hit for the cycle today.
He did, which is very funny. In the spring, I don't think I've ever seen a spring training game be able to a guy in spring training able to hit the cycle just for pure at-bats reasons.
I mean, all of these, like, not even fourth outfielder, but all of these, you know, like, fifth kind of super fringy outfield guys that have really, are really, really, really fighting for a spot, they've all been performing quite well this spring.
They have.
LeCastro's the like, only one that's really a center fielder, though, right?
I would think so. I don't think the rest of them... I don't think DJ Stewart's playing center field. I don't even think he did when he was younger, let alone now.
And the real challenge with LeCastro is that he does not have options. So if you bring him up for 2 weeks to cover for Nimmo, and then Nimmo gets healthy, and you have to send him back down, you can't just option him. You got to DFA him.
I could see someone claiming him.
Mm-hmm.
He's that type of guy who would get claimed four times in a season because you could use his skill set is always...
Just like Jankowski last year.
Yeah, he can't hit, but it's usable. Like, it's valuable to a team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they're going to do here. I mean, if you push Pham into the starting lineup, and let's say they do carry, you're going to have to carry another outfielder, so that's, I don't know, LeCastro or Stewart. And then I guess you're still looking at a Ruff or Vientos option for that last bench spot, or you just give it to Beatty and put Escobar there, but I don't know what their thinking is on that front.
Yeah, I can't tell.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, our number 9 prospect, Ronnie Mauricio, he got optioned down to minor league camp the other day. So in total for his spring training, he appeared in 17 games, and he went 8-for-33 with a double, 4 home runs, 1 stolen base, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts. And as for as impressive as, you know, his home runs were, and as authoritative as he hit the ball sometimes and everything else, his spring training stat line still came out to a extremely Ronnie Maurician 242, 286, 636 batting line over those 17 games.
Like, if someone wants to explain the Ronnie Mauricio experience, you literally point to the spring where you look at the highlights and he looks like he's a superstar. And then when it's over, you're like, oh, he wasn't actually that good because all the other things were bad. You know,
I will say at least he struck out only 6 times in 17 games. That is progress. So
he's never had huge strikeout rates, though, right? Because his bat, it's, his bat to ball isn't bad, I don't think.
No, it's
like they hit the high. Okay, let's see. So he ran a,
I want to say he had like a 24%,
23%, right? Okay, the only time, so I'm throwing out the 8 games he had at AA to close out the 2021 season because I don't care. The highest strikeout rate he's ever, and also he had an 8 game sample in rookie ball in 2018. Literally the highest strikeout rate he's ever run over a real sample is 24%. It's not the bat to ball that's the problem. If anything, his bat to ball is
too much.
Too making, good. Right, exactly.
Making too much contact.
Right. It's the Ahmed Rosario problem of I don't need to learn to change my swing decisions. I'm getting my bat on everything. Right? So
2 walks in 17 games though, I guess that's
there it is. That's
I don't know.
He's so flawed, and the flaws are always gonna be. The flaws are loud, too. Like, the flaws are very in your face. They're not walking, and they're not getting on base, and swinging at weird pitches, and all that stuff. So it's hard.
I don't even know how. I don't even want to fault the Mets here because this is not an uncommon struggle, I don't think, for a lot of these guys, because this is a skill you want. Like, obviously, bat to ball is a good thing. You want your prospects to be able to put the bat on the ball, but I think that also winds up hindering a lot of their development, and this is not a Mets-specific problem. You see this across baseball, across many teams. So it's a very hard developmental nut to crack. How do you force someone who is talented enough to swing at everything and survive to rein that in? I don't know. Like, that's a, if you could do it consistently, some team will pay you a lot of money.
Yeah, as I say, if you had the answer, then you wouldn't be doing this podcast with
us.
Yeah,
probably not.
All right. Next up is our number 19 prospect, Bryce Montes de Oca. He did not pitch, but he was given a diagnosis since we last recorded. So he has a stress reaction in his right elbow, which is bad. But silver lining is there's no ligament damage, which would have been a bigger problem. So he is going to go on the DL to start the year, but hopefully, you know, not for too long. And God knows, and we'll discuss this in a little bit, the Mets could use some bullpen help this year, given everything that's gone on. And surprisingly, we have one more prospect here. Number 20, Jesus Baez. He got into a game today, Sunday.
He did?
Yeah, he replaced Danny Mendick today's game. He went 0-for with a walk, so very random, but good for him, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah. It's cool he's still around. It's probably cool. It's a cool experience for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the, I mean, it's just reinforcing what we've heard all offseason, what was written at BP, what we wrote, that, you know, he was lower profile than Fañez and Juan, but he's the best one of the bunch at this point.
Yep.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. So if you've been living under a rock and you haven't heard, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but Edwin Diaz hurt himself in an unfortunate celebration incident the other day in the WBC during Team Puerto Rico's win over the DR. And he was diagnosed with a patellar tendon tear. And that's the tendon that connects the kneecap to the tibia, the lower bone on your leg. So painful. He had surgery on it already. The general recovery time frame for that kind of injury is basically 8 months. So basically, unless there's some miraculous rehab program that, you know, he undergoes, Diaz is basically done for the season for 2023. You know, the Mets do have some guys in their bullpen already who are former closers or former setup guys or have experience pitching in high leverage situations, whatever. There's David Robertson, there's Adam Ottavino, there's also, to a lesser extent, Brooks Riley, though, you know, he's hopefully healthy, you know, quickly because he's also dealing with some injuries. But there's a couple of guys that could fill in, you know, for the year. And the Mets are also looking at Zach Britton. He had a workout last Friday. Obviously, you know, if he's healthy, he'd be a fit with his experience, with the relationship he has with Buck Showalter, going back to the Oriole days, whatever. So there are guys that will, I mean, somebody has to do it, you know. There are guys that are going to close games for the Mets. But, you know, Diaz's injury is a pretty big blow to the Mets bullpen. You know, he was lights out last year. As Mets fans, we know all about how a weak closer, how a slumping closer could have a horrible domino effect on the rest of the bullpen. So, you know, even if Robertson, Ottavino, whoever, you know, they do a good job filling in for Diaz. There's still pressure on the guys lower in the bullpen depth chart to kind of carry their share of the load and, you know, and then some possibly. And the Mets minor league system, unfortunately, is not exactly equipped to handle this kind of thing. You know, they do have some pitching, but the majority of those pitchers are, you know, in high A or double A. You know, they're not exactly ready to contribute to the big league level. The only real immediate guys that jump out at you at the AAA level are Bryce Mantistaoka, who is, as we discussed earlier, he's injured, so he's going to be out for however long. And then really there's two other guys, you know, at the upper levels of the minors, Eric Orsi and Grant Hartwig. And after them, it's kind of shrug your shoulder.
Not so great, Bob.
Yeah, I think they're going to be active on the I can see them being active on the waiver stuff with relievers now.
They already grabbed what's his name?
Yeah, the Dodgers and Rangers legend.
And Twins, right?
That's who they got him from, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what's his name? Ooh, I named the teams that he played for, and I don't remember his name.
Santana? No, that's not it.
Danny Santana? That's someone else completely, I think. Let's see. Mets roster. Who is the name that I do not recognize here? Yeah, Dennis.
Dennis
Santana. Dennis Santana, that's it, yeah.
Not Danny.
Throws hard. Is kind of, that's really it, but yeah.
That worked out well, Gerson Batista. Throw hard, that's really it, so.
Look, this is a huge loss. There's no doubt about it. But I think the Mets are in a better spot than they've been basically ever to withstand it, right? Like,
if this happened last year, they'd be absolutely fucked.
Yeah.
We could be like, well, the bullpen might be terrible. Like, the bullpen's probably still going to be good.
It's yeah.
Probably not going to be great, which sucks, but.
I mean, if you look historically, how many Mets bullpen, take Diaz out of the picture and look at the rest of this bullpen, and let's assume that Raley's hamstring isn't anything serious and he's back pretty soon. This is still the best bullpen they've had since ever? With yeah, Robertson, Ottavino, Raley, Smith, and I don't want a litany is too dramatic a word, but a decent pool of guys after that.
It's definitely the deepest that I can remember being an active fan.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you could say like 2006, you know, they had Wagner, they had Heilman, they had Duane Sanchez, they had Feliciano.
And maybe for like 5 minutes in 2015 when Addison Reed was suddenly a god. And
the second half of the team of the bullpen, the second half of the year, the bullpen was good.
I still think this is much deeper than that group, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm less. There's no make no mistake. Like losing Edwin Diaz is a big deal. I don't want to. I see a lot of people using like Saber 1.0 valuation here, and that's just dumb. But I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it probably the team is worse, but if this was Lindor instead of Diaz, we're talking about the season being dramatically changed. Where this could be the difference between the Mets winning the World Series and not, but also if Robertson is 80% of Diaz, then they'll probably be fine.
Mm-hmm.
It also, I think it more sucks for the middle of the pen where that's not as deep as it used to be. You know, like the sixth and seventh innings a little worse. Mm. And now they're probably going to have to trade for a reliever at the deadline. And they probably wouldn't have had to if in an alternate reality where Diaz doesn't tear his patellar tendon. You know what I mean? Like they could have used Mauricio somewhere else, but they might have to trade him for a reliever now.
Yeah, that is where it's going to have the biggest impact.
And that's the thing that sucks because if they need another arm, there's no one to call. Like, I really like Grant Hartwig, and I think he has the highest ceiling out of the group.
I'm with you there.
Of minor leaguers, but that's it. That's one guy. So if you need another one, then you're going to have to trade for one. And that's the thing that's annoying, because they might need a third baseman. They might need an outfielder. They might need half a DH. We don't know. We don't know who's going to get hurt. We don't know who's not going to be good. We don't, you know, it just kind of, it adds another thing on the wish list where it was already checked off, and now they have to erase the check, and we have kind of probably added another guy, and that's annoying. Mm-hmm. That's really the thing that sucks the most. I think it's going to change their plans more than we think, even. Probably they realize it, but because they're already, I'm sure, already thinking ahead at the deadline, because they know they're going to be good. But like them being the front office.
I also forgot about Tommy Hunter.
He's around. Like they have depth, and it's just the high end ceiling isn't as there as it used to be. Because there was a reality where the Mets have the best bullpen in baseball with Diaz. Yeah. And Robertson, if he's good as he was last year, and if Ottavino was as good as he was last year, the game's in the seventh inning, it's probably over. Yeah. Now it might take to the eighth inning to do that. And that's another inning where you're losing, you know, it's more complicated than the Sabre one. Oh, he's a reliever. They're all the same conversation. That I've seen a lot of that too, Lucas. Mm-hmm. And I don't really understand how you could watch Edwin Diaz last year not blow a save from May onward and be like, who cares? It doesn't matter.
I also bring up Tommy Hunter because I would want to know the origin of this. He's 6'3", which in baseball is not really that big.
Especially not for a pitcher.
So he's 6'3", but yet his nickname is Big Fella.
I mean, he's a thick boy. That's why.
Yeah, he is. Big boy. Right, well, Big Fella, I feel, implies height, not width.
Mm-hmm.
Thickness. Heft.
Thick. Several C's.
At least for now. Like, I'm going to petition him to be now Thick Fella from now on. And
Thick Fella? Just keep putting it when you do recaps or whatever. It'll
catch you.
That's true.
For the moment, the bullpen is the four main guys who are healthy, Robertson, Ottavino, Raleigh, and Smith. And I'm going off Fangraph's depth charge right now. Negosic, who's out of options. Santana, who they just claimed and is also out of options. Fangraphs has the final two spots going to Tommy Hunter, who would be out of options if they purchased his contract, and John Curtis. He does have options. And Curtis has looked really good this spring.
Yeah, I don't think if anyone has the highest ceiling, it's him, not Hartwig. But
yeah,
I didn't count him. I wasn't counting him as internal options.
And then beyond that, they still have McGill has looked a little rough, but they still have guys like Lucchese. Peterson's going to have to start. Eliezer Hernandez is there. Jeff Brigham, who I think is better than anyone we've talked about outside of Curtis. I really like Jeff Brigham. Steven Ridings.
He hasn't pitched yet, really.
No, he hasn't. He's probably still recovering.
He's 6'8". He's a bigger fella.
Yeah, he's a taller fella. I will admit I've not watched as much spring baseball as I would have liked because I started a new job and the hours are a little rough, but I mean, Jimmy Iacobonis is here, William Woods is around. I don't know if these guys have pitched a ton, but there are names to squint at. They got Daniel Nunez back as well, and he shouldn't be too far away.
The way that he pitched last year, I don't know.
Mm.
If I would consider him in this conversation. But he is there. He is a body.
I mean, he wasn't bad last year. He ran a 13.6 K9 at AA.
Let's look at his numbers here. Did he not also walk the world or give up?
Only a 4 walks per 9, 3.5 ERA. It wasn't fantastic, right,
Yeah, that is a little bit better than I was thinking then off the top of my head. I was thinking, you know, that he struck out 12 but walked 6, so kind of, you know, one step forward, two steps back. But the walk rate isn't that bad, so.
If I were them, I would probably sign one of the veterans, like Giles or Britton, and you could send some of those guys back down to AAA. And then if Britton sucks, then no really harm, no foul. You know, that's what I would do, I think, because I think his ceiling is still a high leverage reliever like Ottavino's doing it at his age. I don't think there's a reason why Britton couldn't, even though he's shown a little less in recent years than Ottavino did when they signed him.
I worry that both Britton and Giles are cooked.
They might be, but you know, obviously we haven't seen them pitch in their showcases. We have no idea, but I could also see a world where they're not and they're seventh inning guys, and that's fine, you know. Mm-hmm. But I could see a world where they are, and I don't think it will really hurt if they bring one in and mm-hmm. see for themselves, kind of in a game situation. Like, that's kind of where they're at. And a lot of the names you said are nice, but you could option Brigham, and then if Britton sucks, you could just call him up. And then you burned one of his options, but all right, it happens, you know? Because I think he still has options.
Bring back old friend Joe Smith.
Love Joe Smith.
I don't know if he officially retired or not. And then in terms of, and again, if this is deeper than you want it to go, Steve, I can stop this line of inquiry, but who would you think about trading for? I have one name in mind, but like who are the Mets going to dangle Vientos or Mauricio for come late May or June to say, hey, we need a reliever?
I can't wait for the 75 Alexis Diaz articles because he's Edwin's brother.
Oh, God.
I mean, honestly, I don't know. I feel like it's a hard question to ask at this point right now. That mm-hmm. it's a better question in, you know, June or whatever, because you could have Adam Ottavino and David Robertson are all of a sudden extremely dominant as closer and setup man, and the rest of the bullpen kind of, you know, picks up the weight, and you don't necessarily need to trade for anyone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's best case scenario, and God knows with the Mets, best case scenario never happens, but
hence why we're talking about the bullpen at this
point.
Exactly.
I would also say you don't really know which, I don't want to say random, but which guys will bounce back, because yeah. like in 2021, Robertson only pitched in 12 games, but he was kind of bad. Yeah. And then last year he was really good. And if you would have asked someone in March of last year if they would want to trade a legitimate prospect or something of value for David Robertson, all of us would be like, no, he's probably washed. Mm-hmm. And he was really good, because he you know, he was hurt, or he was coming back from his injury. I think he was coming back from Tommy John in 2021. And yeah. so he only pitched at the end of the year, and it's probably the whole year off and all that stuff. But he ended up being the prize of the reliever market last year, and probably nobody would have called that. But you never know what 34-year-old is really good. Addison Reed was random, you know?
They got Addison Reed for, like, literally two guys whose name I don't remember.
Yeah, I just remember one being one of the tall guys, if I remember correctly. That was one of the tall pitchers.
Casey Meisner.
No, yeah. Meisner was for Clippard, and I, to this day, still hate that trade. But
it was for Clippard.
Yeah. I hate that trade because I did not think Tyler Clippard was good.
Was it John Gant?
John Gant was for Uribe and Kelly Johnson.
John Gant was
no.
the mm.
Addison mm-hmm. Reed okay. was, like, literally too low
he was
level
also a waiver.
IFA guys. Yeah, it was nothing.
Let's see. Because now I'm...
Now I'm curious. I'm done.
Yeah.
all of us Googling Addison. He's only 34, which is crazy.
Yeah, he got cooked pretty quick.
You know, it's really crazy.
At Coke right? and Miller Diaz.
Yeah. Miller Diaz. You know, it's really crazy. Look how old Dilson Herrera is.
31? How old is Pickles? Work with me, Fangraphs, please.
Did you know Matt Koch is still in professional baseball?
He is. Who?
He is a minor. The Colorado Rockies signed him as a minor league free agent on November 29th of 2022.
Oh, good for
him. Dilson Herrera is only 29.
Isn't that crazy?
That's yeah. crazy. And he got like no shot.
We're really going off track here. I don't understand how he never got a chance.
I know. I feel like there must be something. But at the same time, like, not that I know him personally or anything like that, but like back in the day when he was a Mets prospect, like the limited interactions with, you know, I had with him, or like the random scout people that I would sit next to, they all seemed positive. So
I don't know.
He got 270 major league plate appearances and had 88 weighted, and was consistently 10-30% above average at AAA, and just no one ever gave him an extended chance.
Yeah, it's really weird. Not even a bad team. Not even like a team who had nothing to lose. It was always really weird to me.
The name I was going to bring up on the bullpen front was actually David Bednar, to see if the...
Yes, I would love that, but he's going to be expensive.
Yeah, I would move almost anything outside of Alvarez, Beatty, and Jett. I would even... I don't know if I would think about moving Parada, but I probably wouldn't, but I could be convinced. But like anything
he's after really, that... He's really good.
Bednar? Yes. Yeah. And he cost... He's dirt cheap financially.
So, like that's your setup man for 4 years or 5 years, whatever it is.
And look, they're going to need to bring in mercenary bullpen reinforcements continually, right? Like that's...
Yep. It's an old pen anyway. And like we just talked about, they don't really have... If Hartwig's good and he's up next year, that's great. But that's one guy. That's one spot.
Mm-hmm. And Drew Montes Smith... Montesdaoka can't stay healthy for more than 2 minutes.
Smith is a little older than you think, and he's like 28 or something.
Yeah. And I think there's a chance you can flip. I don't know. I don't know how.
That's also good insurance for, I mean, I don't think a patella injury is going to ruin Diaz's career. I think it shouldn't. Pitchers come back from that. Zach Elfin did recently.
That should but, be. It's not like Victor but if he has, Cruz if he has come a, back from the patella.
If he has a weird rehab or he has to miss a little more time or something, you know, then that's as good insurance as any. I don't think that'll happen because 8 months from now is like November. So that would be a disaster if he's still out by this time next year. It's not an Achilles injury or something, but it's insurance on Diaz in general. Just pitchers get hurt.
Yeah.
Even outside of this, you know, which is what Robertson is. And here we are.
Good thing they got that insurance. Well, suffice to say that, Diaz will be missed. If nothing else, you know, just his presence on the roster then meant that the players further down on the bullpen depth chart would not be needed in higher leverage situations because he was there. So now that he's not, now they are. And that could be disaster. Hopefully not, though.
No, it'll be fine. I'm not going to let this get me down about the Mets season.
I mean, honestly, I think we've all been kind of looking from left field. The most obvious answer is that Scherzer and Verlander need to reach down and become, you know, Verlander and Scherzer of the Tiger days and throw 260 innings apiece.
Man, they're both psycho enough that I think they could do it.
I think Verlander could probably do that a year after Tommy John. And
what did he throw last year? Like 180? 160?
I would think so, around that. I don't have it in front of me.
I could see him saying fuck it and going like 230. I'm healthy. I want to make a statement on this new team. We're going to the World Series. That's pencil Verlander in for 230.
Yeah, great. Smart. How old is he? 40? Great. Wonderful. No flaws. 10-10.
Hey, listen. Let's see. How many innings when he was 40?
You're going to look up like Nolan Ryan and he's going to have thrown 600 innings or something. Not that
no. No, I'm looking someone more contemporary.
Randy Johnson?
Oh, wow. Okay. No, I was thinking Levon Hernandez. He never pitched to 40. That surprises me. He threw 211 innings at 35.
Nolan Ryan threw 211 at 40, 220 the year after, 240 the year after that, and then went down from there. Mm. Jesus Christ. Nolan Ryan, 1989, age 42 season, 33 starts, 240 innings, 11.3 K9, 3.6 walks per 9, 3.2 ERA, 2.5 FIP, and 7 wins.
7 wins?
Geez. 7 F-WAR.
Oh, I thought like pitcher wins, like only won 7 games.
7 WAR as a 42-year-old.
Well, that is why he's Inner Circle Hall of Fame.
Jesus Christ.
In 2004, Randy Johnson had a 2.6 ERA, was worth 9.6 wins, and he threw... Hold on. He threw 245 innings.
Nice.
Not good bad. Lord, man. Like,
and he only went 16-14 because the Diamondbacks.
Every time I pull up Randy Johnson's page, because Randy Johnson was like a decent player in his 20s, and then he said hit 31. It was just like, all right, these are his WARs by year: 9.5, 1.6, because he only pitched 60 innings. 7.6, 9.5, 9.6, 10.4, 8.1, 2.4 because he got hurt again, 9.6.
And that 9.6 one, he was 40, the last one.
What the fuck?
I hate
and,
him.
And one bird killed along the way.
Right, well, yeah. Roger Clemens, at age 42, threw 211 innings. Are they sub-2 ERA?
When's the last time Verlander threw 200 innings?
Probably 17 or 18? Justin Verlander threw 233 innings in 2019.
At 36, yeah. Jeez. He threw 175 last year.
I think he can get to 200 this year, and I think that he's crazy enough to do it. Are the Mets crazy enough to let him do it? I don't know. But
yeah, with the six-man rotation they're talking about and stuff. Just pencil David Peterson in for 200 painstaking innings, and we'll call it a day.
Can someone explain to me why everyone hates David Peterson? I don't get it.
It's the aesthetics of what, like, he just nibbles and...
He's kind of boring.
He doesn't challenge anyone. That's really what it is.
I feel like I've watched a lot of David Peterson, and I've never been frustrated watching, like... I mean, never been more frustrated than... any other starter in particular. Like, yeah, I guess it's bad. I was at a game where he walked four, that game against the Cubs last year, where he walked four dudes in the first inning or whatever it was. Like, yeah, that sucked, but it wasn't like, man, this guy stinks.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of gross looking. Like, even the motion's kind of ugly.
I love funky lefties. I don't understand.
He's fine. It's just, he'll be your fine fifth starter. I think you should make it be the fifth starter over McGill, but McGill looks kind of bad.
I think McGill is more versatile because he has experience as a reliever, whereas David Peterson has a little bit of experience. But at the same time, also, they're both so young that you can just...
Peterson looked quite uncomfortable out of the pen last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
When they tried it those few times, he did not look like he... I don't want to say wanted to. I just felt like he was very unsure of his abilities to do that when normally he isn't like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it might be a mentality thing for him where he just doesn't like it and doesn't feel comfortable doing it. And that's tough to overcome.
Basically, at one time, every single relief pitcher was at some point a starter, most likely. So
if
need be, he'll deal with it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if anyone has any questions, comments, whatever, you could send us an email at our email address from complexthequeens@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter and shoot us questions there. I'm at Steve Sipa. Lucas is at ElVlahos343. Ken is at KenLevin91. And Thomas is at ZMetsSeason, SZN. Subscribe to the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts from. Remember, we have a new name now. Rate and review it. And of course, we thank you for listening. And we'll be back next week. So until then, love the Mets. Love the Mets.